Hi, I'm Mickey Lowe.
Hi, I'm Bishop Todd. And welcome to the C4SO podcast. Hey, everybody. Todd Hunter here. This is our last episode of 2024, and boy, is it a special one. Mickey and I have had a great two-year run as co-hosts of the C4SO podcast, and there's no doubt I couldn't have done it without her. Mickey brings so much warmth and energy and winsomeness. She brings insight, perspective, and just plain old fun to the podcast. However, in 2025, we're saying goodbye to Mickey as co-host, and I'm going to be embarking on a legacy podcast series, including reflections on C4SO's growth and development over the last 15 years. I'll talk about the history of how I became an Anglican bishop, what I hope to accomplish in my last year as a bishop, and much more. We'll also hear from some key leaders who have been instrumental in C4SO's journey. But today, we want to honor Mickey for the excellent work she's done on this podcast, reflect on the highlights of our journey together. And this gives me a moment now to ask her all the hard-hitting questions that she used to ask others. So here we go. Mickey, I'm picturing you like a star athlete, waving goodbye wistfully to the great throngs of crowds, or like a great musician, you know, playing her last gig here in town at the Ryman or something, and just waving goodbye to everybody. So what a bittersweet day. You're such a great friend, and you've been such a great co-host.
Oh, thank you. This has been so much fun. Seriously. Yeah. The last couple, I mean, we did this for a couple years. That's not nothing.
I know it.
That's like, that belongs on a resume, you know?
You know what? We should have had t-shirts made like, you know, rock stars do with a tour. You know, we could have a t-shirt made with all the episodes on the back or something.
But that actually is a great idea. It's not too late.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. I know 2 years have gone by so fast. And I was trying to think back when we were first inviting you to do this. Like, what were your first thoughts and feelings when you got this call out of the blue? Hey, would you be the co-host of the C4SO podcast with Todd?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I had a lot of thoughts. I mean, I was obviously excited at the possibility. I thought, wow, that, I mean, I was honored, and I thought it sounded so much fun. I was also really nervous, too. Like, I was so, you know, afraid of, I don't even know. I was just afraid of, like, feeling kind of like a phony, almost. You know how you get imposter syndrome?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
sure. Yes, of course.
Oh, wow. Like, why would I be on this, this prestigious production, you know? Like, I guess I was afraid of feeling like a phony. You know, I'm not this, like, educated, super brilliant theologian or anything like that. So I was like, man. But something that was helpful, Bishop Todd, is I think over the course of all the conversations we had with guests and with one another, you always drew back to this. So, Mickey, what do you think as a practitioner of all this stuff?
Yeah.
And that was a really helpful reminder to me of, okay, this is why, you know, I'm kind of here, is I'm among the people who would really benefit from all of these conversations. And I'm among the listeners having something to learn. So that always helped me feel better over the last couple of years is, okay, yeah, I guess I am in the middle of all this right now as a planter and all that stuff. So,
well, I totally get it. Any of us who do anything in public know what imposter syndrome feels like. I don't know anybody who doesn't have that occasionally.
Yeah,
but
real.
Second of all, that is, like, you're right. When we used to prepare for the shows and stuff, I remember always thinking that angle you brought as a practitioner, you know, you and your husband, Travis, planting a church in Tampa, it was so important, because you're right. It kept us grounded to our audience, where, you know, me, I'm not really an academic, but, you know, me as, like, professor, bishop, you know, whatever, I could think about these things too conceptually. And yeah, I think one of your great gifts was to keep us grounded in the reality of day in and day out ministry. So thank you.
So what does this mean? How can I apply this? Yeah, you know, that's always what I thought as we were prepping. It was, you know, all of the things and all the themes and topics we explored, I was always eager for every single one of them, because there was always a way to apply whatever it is we were talking about on an episode to day-to-day ministry. So
I'm wondering, thankfully you're young and have a better memory than I, but when you look back over the last couple of years, either thinking about it personally, like just somebody who you just felt great about being on the podcast with, or maybe the content of an episode or something, when you look back, what strikes you as a favorite?
It's hard to say, Like, it really is.
I can imagine.
And I'm not going to lie, I had to go look through all of the, like, the list of the episodes we did, because I feel like we've done so many.
Yeah.
And, man, it really is hard to pick. But I think a few that stand out to me, I loved the episode that we did with Cherith Nordling.
Oh, yes, on the Holy Spirit.
It was so good. And one of the things that I loved about that episode was, this wasn't like the main point of our conversation with her, but mm-hmm. I loved hearing about her upbringing, like with her dad.
Yeah, with Gordon Fee, her father.
I loved hearing that, because one of the things she said was, at the end of his life, all of the things that people were saying about my dad, they were all true things about his life. Like, mm-hmm. he was the same person in public as he was at home. And I was loved by him, and I saw him as an example in my life. And she told a story of when she picked him up from work, and he was having this encounter with the Holy Spirit while he was preparing for a lecture.
And
I loved hearing that. I think because me as a mom, like, one of the things that I think about the absolute most, always consuming my thoughts and my time, is thinking about how I'm discipling my children and the sort of person that they see as Mickey, the deacon, the minister, the reverend, mm-hmm. but who I am is Mickey, their mom. Yeah. And I love hearing stories about children who are raised in the faith. And I loved hearing everything Cherith had to say about the Holy Spirit and her experience. But I loved hearing that story about her upbringing and her dad. So that one stood out to me.
Yeah, I get to see you as Mickey, the marvelous mom. I can't remember if we were prepping or actually doing a podcast recently where you had the new baby in your papoose mm-hmm. in front of you. And that was, nobody else gets to see that, but I get to see you as Mickey, the mom.
Yeah, no, totally. And my kids have been, for those of you who are here for the behind the scenes stuff, like, they've been a part of so many of the prep meetings, because I'm like on baby duty, but also prepping for podcasts. And I, you know, it gets a little loud sometimes, but I've enjoyed the process.
Even right now, I see behind you a crib.
There's a crib. So there's Mickey, no one in there right now, but
Mickey the mom is doing a podcast from the mm-hmm. from the crib room. That's great.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Okay. So, sort of on the same topic, what if you think back, like, was there a favorite interviewee, like somebody you even maybe were a little nervous to be on because they, like, seem a little famous to you or something?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we've had, it's so interesting because a lot of our guests I've met before who are part of the diocese, and I love them and have loved getting to know them. And then some people I met through this podcast. And so it's been cool to meet, like, sort of like famous people, but who, like, are a part of our diocese. But so it's been really fun. But some of the favorite people that we've had, honestly, I love getting to talk to Ashley Matthews for Lent. Yeah, that was, like, great. A couple years ago. Uh-huh. I love her. She actually spoke recently at a planting cohort meeting that we had. Uh-huh. Yeah. Love hearing from her. I loved hearing from Tish Harrison Warren for Advent. Yeah. Like, all of these women that I so adore and consume as much of their works as possible. I love hearing Ashley preach. I love reading Tish. So that was fun for me.
Good.
Yeah, I also love having spoken to, like, Jonathan Kinberg. Like, love the episode we did with him.
Diaspora,
love mm-hmm. hearing from him and talking with him. So those are some fun ones that have stood out.
Good. So, you know, when you're a leader and or have any sort of visibility, like, you know, we have on this podcast, you know, people love to tease you about stuff. So, for instance, I get teased a lot for using the word foment. I had no idea I used the word foment so much. But apparently, people say I say foment or write the word foment a lot. One listener wanted to know, what is a mannerism of mine that you've come to joke about, like with Travis or something, you know, like sweetly behind my back.
Nicely.
Yeah, nicely, sweetly behind my back.
Oh my gosh. No, nothing behind your back. Nothing I would ever make fun of you for. But one of the things that I love that you do, and I feel like you've done this often, is whenever we have a guest who is finishing a thought or explaining something in depth or kind of conceptual or like great thoughts. And I love that you always go, so what I'm hearing you say is dot, dot, dot. And yeah. I love that because I feel like that you do such a great job of sort of condensing people's thoughts and taking away and extrapolating some really good points and then also offering kind of your angle there too. It keeps the conversation flowing and it's just so helpful. And I've actually started doing that myself. So whenever I'm having a conversation with like a parishioner or something, I'll kind of let them finish thoughts or, you know, finish a story or whatever. And I go, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is dot, dot, dot.
And when people ask me about you, the things that come to mind are, number one, what I would call like the sweetness of your spirit. And not sweetness in a cheesy way, but there you have such an obvious love of God in you for other people that is always striking to me. I talk about your native curiosity that you always brought to our prep time, like real curiosity about these guests. And then, as we've said before, you always helped us like anchor that curiosity in the real lives of, you know, workaday ministers, and is super good. But I wish people could see on the screen your lovely smile and how much you smile, and that smile comes through your like tone of voice and the way you were with our guests. So I think that'll be a big memory to me, and I'm a little sad no one else gets to see your big smile. Your big smile the way I do on screen.
Oh, I appreciate that. I said this before a little earlier, but I am among the people who have so much to learn from all of the folks that we've interviewed, and I've just loved hearing from them and applying that, figuring out ways to apply their wisdom to everyday ministry. So I'm eager to learn. I feel like growing up, I didn't love school. I did not love learning. It feels like in my adult life, my posture has changed. I've become so aware that I have so much to learn, and that process never stops, right? Like we're learning till the day we die. But I feel as though I'm eager to learn, and I'm eager to hear from people who have walked with Jesus longer than me, who have done ministry for longer than me, or have learned a lot in ministry. So I love that, and that's sort of my approach to ministry is there's always more to learn. Always.
Yeah, you know, I have a similar story, Mickey. I barely graduated from high school because I hated school so much and, you know, went as little as possible. But I could hit a baseball, so that meant I could go to college.
Yeah,
and, you know, if you go to college, you got to go to class if you're going to play baseball. So I'm like you. I became a late bloomer when it came to learning. And now, and I know this will happen to you as well, is, you know, now at my age, I look back over, you know, 5 decades of being a Christian and literally been a lifelong learner that whole time. And even now, I love learning. And it's part of why I join you in having loved to do this podcast is we get to be the first learners, you know, and then it goes public. Yeah. But you and I get to be the learner first. So
yeah, totally.
So you talked about the episode with Cherith and how her relationship with her father was really meaningful to you. What if you think about, is there a lesson that you've brought from the podcast into your daily work that sticks out to you? Like something you feel like, oh, I learned this on the podcast and I've begun to employ that in my, you know, daily, weekly rhythms of life at church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a few things come to mind is I especially liked when we had conversations with people regarding the church calendar and like the Christian year. Like I loved when we talked about Advent last year. We talked to Tish, but we also had talked to Kimberly Deckel. And I believe we talked with Marty Reardon. And, you know, over the course of the year, we had these series on Lent, Pentecost. I loved hearing their ideas of what they did in their parish context. And there were a couple of things like that Marty had mentioned, like, oh, this is what we do at Trinity. And I was like, oh, I wonder if there's a way for us to kind of do that at Trinity Tampa. Or Kimberly talked about some things that she did with her family. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could try to do that. And she had mentioned this book, Sacred Seasons, that I also had been reading at the time. I can't think of anything super specific, but there have been times when we talk about like the liturgical practices.
Yeah.
And hearing from guests and what they do in their churches. Right. I've loved taking those things.
So as a new Anglican, those things were super helpful, you're saying, as you and Travis have like designed your church in Tampa.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just really into that. Like, I love the rhythms of the church here. I feel like since becoming an Anglican over the last 4 years or so, I've loved having the liturgical cycle shape.
Yes.
You know, my practice as a person, in my family, and in my church. And I love hearing about ways to make those times special. And as my job at my church as the worship director, it's not just like the music and stuff that I, you know, oversee. It's like the whole liturgical experience. So the colors, the things that we do that draw our attention to Advent, Lent, whatever it is we're in. I've loved those conversations and getting ideas. I love hearing about other worship leaders and what they do and stuff like that.
Yeah. Knowing your journey, that makes total sense. And knowing how many people in C4SO, like the vast majority of church planters that are attracted to us are brand new Anglicans too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy. We all
You're in the cohort. So, you know,
exactly. No, it's been so fun. My husband was raised in the Episcopal Church up until like middle school. So he was more familiar than I was. But when I was introduced to this tradition, I was just like blown away by how amazing all of these practices that were once kind of presented as quote unquote Catholic or too Catholic. Yes, I'm hey, actually, this stuff is really helpful. And I love it. I've just fallen in love with liturgy and, you know, the cycle of the Christian year.
Yeah. So. Well, let's bring this to a close with a couple of questions about impact. So first of all, when you think back, having done this together for a couple of years, and, you know, you were having coffee or lunch with a friend or something, and they asked you, well, how did those couple of years impact you? How would you answer that question? Like, what's been a big kind of overall takeaway for you?
Yeah, I feel as though my work on this podcast over the last couple of years has led me to sort of embrace this posture of learning and being exposed to all sorts of people and their works. Like, I've loved getting to interview authors, reading reading their book.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
People I may have not known about, but getting to read their work, being changed by it or being really inspired by it, getting to talk with them about it.
Yeah.
Now I have these tools in my tool belt. So when someone is like, hey, I'm a new Anglican, love this stuff, don't understand it. Can you tell me more or give me more resources about the church year? Well, I can point to Esau's Fullness of Time series and hand them the Advent book that Tish wrote, or, you know, his Lent book, or just things like that. Or like David Roseberry's, like all his books.
On like the vestry and
And the Psalm 22 book that we did.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I want a devotional for Lent. Oh, well, I've got a perfect one.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed and appreciated the push to read more, be more aware of like the conversations that are going on, in not just in the world, but in Christianity and even within like the Anglican tent. I just feel like I've grown a lot myself personally, like intellectually, and just have been inspired really by, you know, in my faith because of all of these people, like a wide range of people that we've read over the course of this podcast and the wide range of people we've gotten to talk to about ministry and their approaches to ministry. So, yeah, I think if someone were to ask what are some of my takeaways, is just the growth that I've experienced through being exposed to all these people.
Yeah, I agree. If somebody asked me that question, I think similar two words would come to my mind of kind of like education and inspiration, some combination of having learned a lot alongside you. And as you say, we get the blessing of being first inspired before these things go public.
Right, right.
Well, again, one of the things I get to see behind the scene is your love for our listeners. And I think it comes through on the podcast as well, but I get to see it really directly. So if you were to think about the people who consistently listen to the podcast that we've done over the last couple of years, for a closing thought, what would be your hopes and prayers for those who have been with us over the last couple of years?
yeah, I think my hope and prayer for our listeners, for people in my parish, for anybody who I talk to, is that they would just follow Jesus and fall in love with Jesus. And Amen. Over the course of their lives to learn more about the Lord and allow that to shape their life and allow the Spirit to shape their life and to just be curious about the church, be curious about what faith means and what it means to follow Jesus faithfully. And to look for some of the questions that people might have about their faith, about the church, to look for those answers within Christendom. Jesus invites us to come and see. And so whatever it is that you're curious about, whatever topics you're thinking about, or maybe you were raised in the faith and weren't fully explained to you what Jesus rising from the dead means, or if you're completely new to Christianity and you're like, I'm not sure what Jesus rising from the dead actually means. All of these answers, I think Jesus invites us to come and see, and you will find so much of what you're looking for within the church. So that's my encouragement to anyone listening. It's to find resources and find people who are following Jesus as well, and allow that to speak into your life.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Mickey. Well, I know I speak for all of your colleagues in C4SO and the various people who listen to this podcast. Thank you. You are now etched forever in the history of C4SO as the co-host of the podcast. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's an honor. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for tuning in to the C4SO podcast. If you like what you heard, please feel free to share this episode and subscribe and leave a review. It helps us to get the word out. Thanks.